United States History. Monday, April 6th. Jacksonian Democracy. New parties emerge. From 1816 to 1824, the United States had only one major political party. This was the Democratic-Republican Party. The party was far from united. In 1824, four Democratic-Republican candidates competed for the presidency. Party leaders chose William H. Crawford, a former senator from Georgia, to be their candidate. Three other candidates were favorite sons, that is, they received backing from their home states rather than the national party. Their views reflected the interests of their regions. Two favorite sons, Andrew Jackson and Henry Clay, were from the West. Clay, of Kentucky, was Speaker of the House of Representatives. Jackson, of Tennessee, was a hero of the War of 1812. Raised in poverty, he claimed to speak for Americans who had been left out of politics. The third favorite son, John Quincy Adams of Massachusetts, was the son of former President John Adams. He was popular with merchants of the Northeast. The House chooses the president. In the election, Jackson received a plurality of the popular vote, the largest share. No candidate received a majority, or more than half, of the electoral votes. The Constitution requires that the House of Representatives select the president when no candidate has won a majority of the electoral vote. As the House prepared to vote, Clay met with Adams. Clay agreed to use his influence as Speaker to defeat Jackson. With Clay's help, the House chose Adams for president. Adams quickly named Clay to be Secretary of State. In the past, this office had been the stepping stone to the presidency. Jackson's followers accused the two men of making a corrupt bargain and stealing the election. Adams is president. Adams and Clay denied any wrongdoing. No one ever uncovered any evidence of a bargain. Still, the charge cast a shadow over Adams' presidency. In his first message to Congress, Adams announced his plans. In addition to improving roads and waterways, he wanted to build a national university and support scientific research. Adams' proposals upset his opponents. They wanted a more limited role for the federal government. It would be wrong, they believed, for government to spend money on such projects. Congress finally approved funds for improving rivers, harbors, and roads, but this was far less than Adams wanted. The election of 1828. By 1828, the Democratic-Republican Party had split. Jackson's supporters called themselves Democrats. The National Republicans supported Adams. Most Democrats favored states' rights and distrusted strong central government. The National Republicans wanted a strong central government. They supported measures such as building roads and a national bank to facilitate economic growth. During the campaign, both sides resorted to mudslinging or attempts to ruin their opponents' reputation with insults. The candidates also used slogans, buttons, and rallies. Such practices became a regular part of American political life. In the election, Jackson received most of the votes cast in the frontier states. He also received many votes in the South, where his support for states' rights was popular. John C. Calhoun of South Carolina, who had been Adams' vice president, switched parties to run with Jackson. Calhoun also supported states' rights. Jackson won the election easily. Shortly after the election, Jackson's supporters officially formed the Democratic Party. With the election of Jackson, a man from humble origins who had the support of the common man, the nation entered a new era, the Age of Jackson. Jackson as president. Andrew Jackson had qualities most Americans admired. He was a patriot, a self-made man, and a war hero. thousands of ordinary people came to Washington for his inauguration. Expanding voting rights. President Andrew Jackson promised, quote, equal protection and equal benefits, end of quote, for all Americans, at least all white American men. Jackson's promise reflected the spirit of the times. In the nation's early years, only men who owned property or paid taxes could vote. By the 1820s, many states had loosened these requirements. White male sharecroppers, factory workers, and others could now participate in the political process. By 1828, nearly all states let voters, rather than state legislatures, choose presidential electors. Women still could not vote. African Americans and Native Americans had few rights of any kind. Making government more democratic. Jackson disliked interest groups, organized groups of people who try to influence government in a way that helps their own interests. He also disliked people whose power came from privilege. Instead, Jackson and other Democrats wanted to further open government to the people. They were disturbed that the federal government had become a bureaucracy, a system in which non-elected officials carry out laws. Soon after taking office in 1829, Jackson fired many federal workers and replaced them with his supporters. The fired employees protested, but one Jackson supporter said, "To the victors belong the spoils." In other words, because Jackson had won the election, his supporters had the right to the spoils, or benefits, of victory. This practice of replacing current government employees with supporters of the winner is called the spoils system. Jackson's supporters also abandoned the unpopular caucus system, in which top party leaders chose the party's candidates for office. Instead, parties began using nominating conventions, where delegates from the states chose the party's presidential candidate. This system allowed many more people to participate in the selection of candidates. The tariff debate. A tariff is a tax on imported goods. In 1828, Congress passed a high protective tariff on manufactured goods from Europe. Manufacturers in the United States, mostly in the Northeast, welcomed the tariff. Because tariffs made European goods more expensive, Americans were more likely to buy U.S.-made goods. Southerners, however, hated the new tariff. The South traded cotton to Europe for manufactured goods, and the new tariff would make these items more expensive. Vice President Calhoun, who believed in states' rights, claimed that a state could nullify or refuse to accept a federal law if it was not in that state's best interests. According to the states' rights position, the Constitution was an agreement among the states to establish a national government. If an act of the national government went beyond the powers granted by the Constitution, a state had the right to refuse to obey. President Jackson disagreed. If a state could nullify any federal law it considered unconstitutional, the power of the federal government would cease. He feared nullification could destroy the Union. In 1830, at a Washington dinner marking Thomas Jefferson's birthday, Jackson had a chance to make his feelings on nullification known. He offered a toast. Looking directly at Calhoun, the president declared, "Our Union, it must be preserved." Answering Jackson's challenge, the vice president rose with a toast of his own. "The Union, next to our liberty, most dear." To make sure his meaning was clear, Calhoun added, "It can only be preserved by respecting the rights of the states." In 1832, Congress passed a lower tariff. It was not enough to cool the protest. South Carolina passed the Nullification Act, declaring it would not pay the quote-unquote illegal tariffs of 1828 and 1832. The the state threatened to secede or break away from the Union if the federal government interfered. To ease the crisis, Jackson backed a bill that would gradually lower the tariff. Jackson also vowed to uphold the law and asked Congress for the power to use the power of the federal government if it was needed. Early in 1833, Congress passed the Lower Tariff Bill and also the Force Bill, allowing Jackson to use the military to enforce federal law. South Carolina accepted the new tariff, but nullified the Force Bill. Both sides claimed victory, and the issue was put to rest, at least temporarily. This concludes the reading of pages 374 through 379 of United States History to 1877 textbook, Monday, April 6th.